Recently, Dr. Richard Land wrote a column in Christian Post, and he was talking about abortion. And here are two of the remarks he made in that column. One, only 10 countries in the world have abortion laws as radical as ours are, including most notably communist China and North Korea. And a second point he made is that Catholic philosopher Peter Kreft observed America's Civil War was about liberty. Our current abortion war is about the even more fundamental right, life. And we're going to talk right now with Dr. Richard Land, who writes with the Christian Post. He's also the executive editor of it, and he is the president emeritus of Southern Evangelical Seminary. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Dr. Richard Land, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us.
It's great to be with you.
All right, so the U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to hear a new case about abortion, and here we are in this country that was founded with these words, that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all our, you know, our rights come from the Creator, we're endowed by these rights, or by the Creator with these rights, and they include the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And, of course, abortion eats away at that right to life, does it not?
It certainly does. If you're not born, you don't have the right to life. 65 million plus of our American unborn citizens have had their lives snuffed out before they were fully born. If you don't have the right, if you're not alive, you can't have liberty.
And the 65 million is in reference to post the Supreme Court decision of 1973. Now the Supreme Court might be revisiting the issue of Roe v. Wade. Tell us about this case out of Mississippi.
Well, they are revisiting it. They've agreed to hear arguments on December the 1st, a law out of Mississippi, which is a good law. It's a law that I think reflects where a significant majority of the American population is at the moment on abortion. They're neither as pro-life as I am and you are, and they're certainly not as pro-abortion as the law currently is. The Mississippi law would ban abortions after 15 weeks gestation. Unless there was a threat to the mother's physical life or there was to be a permanent deformity as a result of continuing with the pregnancy, and an exception for babies that have fetal abnormalities that make it difficult or impossible for them to survive postpartum, a fatal deformity in the fetus. 90% of Americans say they're opposed to the reason that 90% of abortions happen, which is purely select, just a post-conception means of birth control.
So, in other words, bottom line is, you know, when you hear, oh, well, we got to have abortion legal because of rape and incest or the life of the mother or whatever, those are just very small percentages of the total.
They're red herrings. Less than 1% of the abortions that take place in the United States every year have anything to do with the mother's physical life or health or with with rape or incest or with fatal deformity in the fetus.
Oh my
They're purely elective abortions.
All right, you open your piece saying this: I am often asked why I speak out on the abortion issue as frequently as I do. And go ahead and tell us why.
Well, to me, that would be analogous to asking Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. why he spent so much of his ministry on seeking to find to achieve equal rights for African Americans in our culture. That was the defining issue of his time. The defining moral issue of our time is the continuing child sacrifice of our babies because at least one parent considers that baby to be too expensive, too embarrassing, too ill, or merely too inconvenient.
You know, it's interesting, too, by the way, as far as Dr. King is concerned, we've interviewed multiple times Elvita King, his niece, who's so sweet and so excellent, and she is so strong against abortion, and I'm so glad to, you know, talk with her, and I'm glad she's on our side, and I feel like she's carrying on, you know, in some ways his legacy on that point.
Well, you know, there is a racial element to the abortion issue. One black pastor told me, he said to me, abortion is high-tech lynching in the womb. because African American mothers abort at three times the rate that Anglo mothers do. Three times. In New York, the last year for which records are available, there were more black babies aborted in New York City than were born in New York City.
All right. Now, you note in your article that the science is clear. Life begins at conception. Go ahead and talk about that, if you would.
Well, until the court ruling in 1973, virtually all medical textbooks stated quite simply, the sperm enters the egg and life begins. And that is a scientific fact. What differentiates you from all of your siblings and from anyone else in the world, all of those decisions are made at the moment of conception. At the moment of conception, that unique combination of DNA that is to be you is formed. And unless it is interfered with, it will become a fully formed baby and a fully formed human being.
What exactly, does the Mississippi law work? And is it the same as the Texas law, which, by the way, you know, you could comment on the blowback against the Texas law also, if you want to.
Well, the Texas law is a fundamentally different law. The Mississippi law, you know, they say good laws make good cases in the court. And I think the Mississippi law is a much better precedent-setting law than the Texas law. The Texas law is more extreme. It bans all abortions after heartbeat. And, of course, that's 5 to 6 weeks gestation. By the time a mother knows she's pregnant, the baby's heart has begun to beat. And then there are far, far fewer exceptions for mother's life and for fatal deformity. And the way in which it is enforced, you have citizens who sue in court, not the government, but citizens who sue in court to sue the abortion provider for providing the abortion. When they know that one's taking place, they can come to court and sue in court, which I think is going to be problematic for the Supreme Court if it ever gets there. The Supreme Court refused to immediately put an injunction against it, and the reason it's causing more publicity right now is because it's going on. The Mississippi law is not in effect yet because it was overturned by the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals and is now on appeal to the Supreme Court, which will make the final adjudication.
So they're
very different laws.
Yeah, okay, and I have seen headlines saying, this is just about a week ago, that so far 2,500 babies have been saved in Texas since that law went into effect, and it was just a few weeks ago. But explain how the Mississippi law would work.
Well, the Mississippi law would just ban all abortions after 15 weeks gestation. It would have the effect of most abortions take place in the first trimester, and that would eliminate most of those. It would be similar to the laws that in Europe, for instance, in France, you can't have an abortion after 12 weeks. In Spain, I think it's 15 weeks. In most of the European countries, it's 15 weeks. After 15 weeks, you cannot have an abortion. Only in the United States and Communist China and North Korea and a few other places can you have an abortion up until the time the baby's born.
You know what's so interesting? You say this. I took the time about 30 years ago to read Roe v. Wade, and they make a big deal about the three trimesters, and they say all we're talking about in this decision is the first trimester, but then they had a companion decision the very same day, January 22, 1973, and that companion decision, Doe v. Bolton, allowed for abortions in the second and third trimesters given certain circumstances, and they had loopholes that were so big, as Dr. Frank Wright once put it, they were so big you could drive a Mack truck through it. So in effect, the two decisions gave us abortion on demand, and that's why we're in this mess today.
Well, and one reason this is such a mess is that the Supreme Court tried to make new law by judicial fiat. This is not where the country was. The country was not nearly as radical and is not nearly as radical as the Supreme Court has been on this issue. Even Ruth Bader Ginsburg said this was a badly decided case because it took the issue of abortion out of the political process and tried to enforce a position on the American people. And the American people rebelled That's why it's caused such controversy in the political process.
In your in your article, you spoke about a number of athletes that joined together to speak out to the Supreme Court, saying female athletes saying we support abortion, don't go against it in Mississippi. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I was shocked. Some 500 female athletes are saying this would interfere with their careers and they have a limited time for competition, et cetera. And my question back to them is, French athletes and German athletes and Italian athletes and Spanish athletes and Polish athletes and Romanian athletes, they all manage to compete and live with abortion laws that don't allow abortion after 15 weeks. Are American female athletes so narcissistic and so self-indulgent that they're saying the only way they can pursue their career is to practice child sacrifice? There are other options. They could practice celibacy. They could practice birth control. But killing their unborn baby seems to me to be quite radical and quite immoral.
When you use the phrase child sacrifice, I mean, that makes me think of the Bible and Moloch and, you know, examples like that where the...
Well, I think it's exactly an apt analogy. We are taking our unborn babies and we're offering them up in sacrifice to the pagan gods of self-indulgence, wow. Convenience, career progress, and wanting to have autonomy over everything we do. You know, look, I believe a woman has a right over her own body. But when she surrenders that right by engaging in an activity of which she surely knows one possibility is pregnancy, she does not have the right of absolute life and death over her unborn child.
What do you think the founding fathers of America would think about abortion?
I think they'd be horrified, absolutely horrified.
Elaborate.
Well, it would have been beyond their cognitive grid that we would, in a civilized country such as the United States, we would have about 30% of our unborn babies being killed every year. You know, the most dangerous place that an American has ever been is in his or her mother's womb from 1973 until the present.
Wow.
Abortion is the leading cause of death in America every day. And you have a 30% fatality rate. We didn't have a 30% fatality rate at Gettysburg. We didn't have a 30% fatality rate at Omaha Beach or Iwo Jima. It's the most dangerous place an American has ever been.
And just because we can't see it, it doesn't mean it's not going on.
No.
So what we really
need...
Well,
we can see it now. Yeah. I mean, we can't say we can't see it.
Yeah.
The science of embryology is...
10 seconds.
You know, sonograms have made it clear. We know. We can no longer say we don't know it's a human being.
ChristianPost.com.
We can refuse to call it a human being. We can refuse to call it a human being, but we can no longer say we don't know.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Richard Land, ChristianPost.com, for more information. All the best. Thank you.
You bet.